on page 176. The infinite way begins with an infinite, ever-present, omnipotent God. Now the name of that God is I. I am God. Be still and know that I am God. The infinite way then begins with an ever-present, infinite, omnipotent I in the midst of you. Therefore, in our acceptance of this truth, I can say that where I appear to be, there is I, an infinite, omnipotent, ever-present God. And it is appearing to your sense as a person here and a person there and a person where you stand. And your consciousness must switch from the person where you stand to that omnipotent, ever-present, invisible I. And when you switch to that I, you have changed from the age-old false idea that you are a mortal being, the mortal self that we have been taught we are not. We are I. This is the teaching of Jesus Christ. It is the teaching of the infinite way. And as you make that switch in consciousness to the real identity, you are also changing from the world to the kingdom without having to do anything else about it. And you are moving into eternity, into timelessness, without doing anything more about it. You are moving into divine law. The minute you move from mortal me to immortal I in your consciousness, you are under the law of God. And all of yesterday's errors, all of yesterday's mistakes are karmic debts that are wiped away. The moment we are I instead of me, we are white as snow. And we fear not any mortal condition, for we are no mortal being again. We are I. And when we experience this, we know that we can learn how to maintain this. The mirages of the world cannot function in that I consciousness. They cannot outpicture for you all the threats and limitations of mortality. Actually, this teaching right at this point, in this one sentence that Joel gives us here, when we know that God and I are one, that teaching is the passport to heaven on earth. All it needs is a worker, someone who will accept it and work with it and live with it and wrestle with it until it becomes living consciousness. You don't need a whole lot of new truth beyond that. Once you make that transition in consciousness right where you are, all of the truth you need flows right out of your own being. You might use a few helpful hints on how to stay there, but ultimately you see you're going to come to the place where no one on earth can help you, because you don't need any help. You know that I am I. You know the truth that makes you free. And because God functions in I, which is the Son of God, the Father says, Son, all that I have is thine. In doing this, you've automatically agreed with your adversary. That step is already taken care of without you making a conscious effort to do it. Where's your adversary? There is none. The only adversary you had was when you were not in I. When you're in I, the adversary is gone. Now, when you're in I, will you be guilty of judging? No. Will you be unrighteous? No. Will you condemn anyone? No. Will you love your neighbor? Automatically, because I will love your neighbor. In other words, all of Scripture is fulfilled when you stand in I instead of in me. And then all of the words of Scripture that were trying to get you to come to I are no longer needed, because I wrote those words. Realization of oneness. I am that I, which is God. So infinite way begins with an infinite, ever-present, omnipotent God. Its premise is that there is no imperfection in any part of God or of God's creation, none whatsoever. God is being perfect, and so therefore is God's creation. No one has ever been born. No one will ever die. No one ever had a beginning. No one will ever have an ending. All of this, you see, is mortal belief. The birth, the death, the beginning, the ending, is all a denial and ignorance of the fact that I am that I. And suddenly the birth, the beginning, the death, the ending, are moved away from I. They're seen to be cosmic shadows of thought, impacted into an appearance called form. But I am not mortal. I am that I which is the permanent immortal I. And that immortal I did not go through birth and will not go through death. And that is my name and identity. You learn how to stand in that until you're at home in I. This is returning to the Father's house. Thou seest me, thou seest the Father, whose name is I. Thou seest the Son, whose name is I. The Son and the Father are I, one and the same. Without beginning in time or space, with no division in time or space, and no ending in time or space, that I am. That is the immortal I. I am not the mortal me. And my capacity to remain consciously that I, while the form walks this earth doing its human chores, will determine the experiences that form undergoes. If I have this open end with I consciously there all the time, the appearance called form will be under the law of I. And that law is perfection in all things. That law is grace, a sufficiency for every moment. Do I or do I not stand in that I is going to determine every tomorrow. It will even determine whether or not I reincarnate or make a transition to a realm in which physical form does not appear. It will determine if loaves and fishes rain out of the sky, or if my table can in some way be barren. It will determine if I live in the miracle of the presence of God or the absence. I have that power to stand or not to stand in I. And I make my own bed. I make my own karma. I make my own freedom. If I stand fast, I find that all that the Father has is never withheld. This eye is your secret place. The immortal self. Let's repeat that line. No one was ever born. No one will ever die. No one ever had a beginning. No one will ever have an ending. That's mortal talk. Beginning and ending, birth and death. I am immortal. Wherever you do not accept truth, you're accepting karma. Wherever you're told, for example, judge not, lest you be judged, the moment you judge, you're in karma. And the reason is because nothing can enter to defile or make a lie of truth. Truth is forever, and it has no opposite. And when you're not in it, you're in untruth. When you're not in truth, you're in karma, because truth is all there is. Karma is living in unreality. There's no karma in reality. The only reason we experience karma, cause and effect, is because we're not living in I, which is reality. I does not live in this world. I lives in the kingdom of I, the kingdom of God. And therefore I, the I that I am not in this world now. I, living in I, which is in the kingdom of God, receive of the kingdom. If I haven't hitherto, it's because I was not living in the kingdom to receive the gifts of the kingdom. All that the Father hath is in the kingdom of spiritual reality, and is experienced in the appearing mortal world only when we live in that kingdom consciously, which is known as I. This is the I which is your identity and has existed for billions of years and will continue to exist without interruption for many more billions of years. Just think. When we entombed ourselves in the belief that this is my life, this span, we were denying the I that I am, which is billions of years in each direction. You were denying the infinity of your own being and losing the power of it, the grace and truth and beauty of it. But the minute you're out of this mortal shell in the eye, all of those billions of years are living now. They're not dead years. They're not yesterday. The eye that existed for billions of years means exists unto infinity in every direction, and that is all living now. You become infinitely alive in I. Who can even estimate what that means with a human mind? To be infinitely alive now. But I am. The I in you is infinitely alive now. And when you are that I and there is no second, you can truthfully say, I am infinitely alive. In that infinite life is all the power of the universe. All of the health, all of the success, all of the human baubles that we have valued so much are all included, but so much more. In your oneness with I, you are one with the spiritual universe. There's nothing to heal, is there? Everything is perfect in I. To be infinitely alive is to live in I. And who, knowing this, would wander off into a little mortal me? This is the I which I am, and the I which is God, and they are one and the same I. This is Joel's statement. They are one and the same I. Therefore, I is immortal. God can no more begin than he can end, and if God and I are one, the I of me in that oneness has never begun and will never end. And so, there is an I that I am which never began and will never end. And when I lose sight of it, I'm in the karma of the world. When I don't lose sight of it, you cannot destroy me, for it is the only power. But it must be lived in. You cannot live outside of I and experience that power. So we are lifting up our conscious awareness that I, without beginning or end in space or time, is my present identity. And I am living in all of it. Even though all that appears here is the little tip of the iceberg called a human self. And the beauty is that if you know the truth will make you free. You don't have to go beyond knowing it. But you can't stop knowing it either. The minute you stop knowing it, the minute it's out of your conscious knowledge, you're not knowing it. And then you're not free. It does another beautiful thing when you're resting in this eye. You know your mind isn't dwelling on your ailments or your lacks or limitations. You can't dwell in both. You're either in them or you're in I. Which are you? If you're in your limitations, you're not living in I. If you're living in I, you're not dwelling on your limitations. And pretty soon you find that the I you live in has no limitations. You become conscious of the nature of that I. You're taken right out of the limitations of the mortal sense of self. Of course, we say to ourselves, well, how often can I do this? I've got a human life to live out here. No one's going to put my shoes on in the morning for me. I've got to do it. I've got to brush my teeth. I've got to get ready. I've got to go out down to the office. I've got to go out to the school. I've got to go out and do this and that. I can't be thinking of I all the time. The Father says, oh yes, you can and you will. Abide in me. Somebody gives you a passport to heaven, do you tear it up and throw it away? Because you've got to go down to Safeway today? Abide in me. While you do whatever you have to do, abide in I. And you'll find it's very normal to abide in I. It becomes your permanent consciousness. Just as this consciousness we had in a mortal sense was our consciousness, we have this new consciousness which abides in I. The old is gone, the new supersedes. And everything derives a new appearance to us because of it. Everything has a new animation because of it. There's a different glow in the things around us because of it. The inner light begins to suffuse right through. We feel the new texture of Spirit Invisible seeping into our daily lives. I am the way. This is your lifeline to infinity. Why should you let go? Only the thief is trying to make us believe we can't do it. We can do it so well that there's no power on the earth that can stop us. And you can do it for others as well as yourself. As you become strong in the I consciousness, you find you can reach out and embrace those who need a little help. You find that you aren't doing this work just for a you, for there never was such a you. You find that others reach out and the I consciousness of you lifts them up to the I consciousness of themselves. And then you know that you have caught the spirit of the Master, the real inner teaching. You're walking with God. You have substance. You're out of quotations. You know that the I of you is the answer to every problem on the earth and to everybody's problem. You just can't reach them all fast enough. And so you stand in that I and let it draw unto you your own household. Like the Master, you don't go out and heal the world. But those who come to you are lifted to the eye of their being. I, if I be lifted up, will lift all men unto me. I truly am the key to the kingdom. And all those who seek that kingdom in your household are drawn for that eye in you, which is the eye of them. And you walk arm in arm. We're living in one, not two. Says Joel, when the parenthesis is removed, we live in the full circle of immortality. It is true that while we may be aware of ourselves as living only in this particular parenthesis, slowly or rapidly moving from birth to death, actually, it is possible for this parenthesis to be removed and for you to become aware of our true identity as one with the entire circle of life and its immortality and eternality. Once we realize ourselves as I, separate and apart from personality, separate and apart from a physical body, as I, the incorporeal, spiritual I, we will have the secret of the eternality and the immortality of life, without beginning, without birth, without ending, without death. He's interpreted for us the truth in words we can understand. That Jesus was demonstrating the immortality of life as the reality of all who walk the earth in form. We appear in form, but this is not the truth. It is the infinite eye of our being, interpreted by world mind into the appearance called form, and where the form stands, only I am. And because that is true of you and your neighbor, and all who walk the earth, only I stand everywhere. And so when you are one with I where you are one with I who stand everywhere, you are the one with the infinite I. And that's the power. Never divided from the infinite I by accepting the I of your own being is your realization of oneness. One I here, one I there, indivisible I. I and the Father one. I, the key to the kingdom. It's really clear. And the disciple lives in that I awareness. And the fruits of the Spirit follow as the night to day. Every quality of I is present in your consciousness, even though you're not conscious of these qualities. When you are accepting I, the omnipotence, the omniscience, the omnipresence of I is functioning in the I itself, and you do not have to go into detail about it. The I of you is present everywhere. It is omnipotent everywhere. It is all-knowing everywhere. Simply by being aware that I am that I, now, forever, releases all of the intelligence that is necessary at any given moment. And all of the power that is necessary at any given moment. This is the unconditioned universe. And because I know all that must be known and can perform all that must be performed and am doing it now, that perfection appears outwardly as the added things, the necessities of life as we know it, appearing visibly because I, who know all things and can do all things, am always a sufficiency unto myself, wherever I am realized and accepted. I is the best artist in the universe. I is the best scientist. I is the best composer. I is the best author. Wherever you stand in I, the world will stand in awe of what they think are your mortal achievements. They may say Da Vinci did that, but it was I. Michelangelo did that, but it was I. This composer did that, but it was I. Always the I released is what the world calls a genius. And yet, that wasn't enough for many geniuses because they didn't know that only in that level of their work had they attained the I. We may not appear to the world in that level of genius, we may, but if we attain the I, whatever is necessary in the divine fulfillment of our being must flow. Not just as an isolated event, but as a continuous dispensation. So that always you're walking in divine fulfillment, needing not the plaudits of man anymore, because spirit doesn't need the applause of mankind. Isn't this what Scripture is telling us? And so now we are united in one I, immortal self. And the thief cannot enter to defile. Nothing can enter to defile or make a lie in the I accepted. The thief is unemployed. The thief is removed. The thief can no longer say you lack and you're limited. You're on the high ground of I. Tomorrow, you're going to have to do this all by yourself. And just as well as we're doing it here today as a group. Because I will teach you. If you come unto me who are heavy laden, I will give thee rest. I will open all the invisible doorways. I answer before you ask. But come unto me without ceasing. And this is how I abolish the belief in death, in disease, in sickness, in lack and limitation. Everyone has this key to the kingdom. Don't lose your key. All that is of God, says Joel, is of you. And of me, because the eye of you and of me and the eye of God are one and the same eye. And that leaves no question about the fact that eye of you and eye of God are one and the same. And all the qualities of God are the qualities of spiritual, eternal, immortal man, of you and of me. All that constitutes the eye of God constitutes the eye of you and of me, for we are forever one with the Father. All that is of God is ours. Nobody's chasing us out to the lions yet. We're being built up to the place where we can stand on anything. Gently, we're being eased up and up and I. Many of our tribulations have been monumental to us, but we're still here, aren't we? Each of them has been a preparation for the moment when I am come, whose right it is to sit on the throne of your consciousness. For when I am come, this world becomes your playground. Now, Joel is giving us pure truth here. If we are receiving it, if we have no barriers to the acceptance of it, if that something in us says, and I will live this truth, you will discover that every word of it becomes living experience. One of the byproducts of it is that you realize that all personal ambition is a denial of your own identity. You want to be this and you want to be that. Can you be more than I? Is there anything more than God? And if I is your name, to simply be I is a fulfillment beyond every mortal dream. And then I appears as that which you must appear to be in this human world. That I expresses the divine plan where you stand. It may change you from all of the things you thought you ought to be, but what it appears as where you are is what you must be. Many of us are changed quite a bit that way. Some of us want to be tycoons. And we find we lose that. We find we always were a greater tycoon than we could ever become in this world. When infinity expresses as your being, you step aside as a mortal and say, "Thy will be done." The perfection of infinity is all I could hope for, beyond every mortal idea or aspiration. Thy kingdom come, on earth as it is in heaven. And there I expresses in ways beyond every human capacity. Beautifully, I laughs at the sins and diseases and germs of the world, laughs at the grave, laughs at all these mortal barricades that we have accepted as realities. We're taken right out of the tomb of a limited lifespan while we walk in the appearance called mortal flesh. There isn't a miracle in the Bible that isn't part of the eye of your being. Every moment of every day, says Joel, determines what our tomorrows will be. As we sow in this moment, so will we reap tomorrow, next week, next year, or 10 years from now. But if we accept the world's belief in two powers, its belief in spirit and matter, in good and evil, then we're going to experience both good and evil. The emphasis here is that when you accept I, don't let that face in the mirror fool you again. And don't let that person coming up the street fool you. There will continue to appear all forms of disturbances in the world, but don't let them fool you. They're not there, I am. I is the invisible identity everywhere which you have accepted where you appear to be. One invisible, indivisible I. Now there are levels of this I awareness . There are degrees of coming to the higher awareness of it. And there are places where you learn, this will never be taken away from me now. I have reached this level, it cannot be taken away. And we want to come to those levels where it's not a mental exercise, where it's substance. Your actual being realized. And that takes practice. Now, I know you won't be able to succeed in what I'm going to ask you to do, but I want to ask it anyway. I want you to see how difficult it is, and then you will learn how to succeed in it. I'm going to ask you to spend just 1 hour of any day you choose, identifying nothing except the divine self in that 1 hour, wherever you may happen to be. If there are 50 people present, coming and going, you're crossing on a street corner where there are 500 present. Spend 1 hour doing whatever you have to do, but identifying nothing but divine self for 1 hour. Don't make it easy for yourself by closing your door and sitting in a chair for an hour. But do it when you're out among people and things and conditions, as if you were walking in the park or at a theater where there are people. But be conscious for 1 hour of divine self everywhere. For you it will be a very instructive teaching, far greater than anything that anyone can say to you. If you've done it, you know. If not, you'll say, oh my gosh, just to know that this fellow is divine and that one is divine, and why, while this person is dancing on the stage, to know they're divine, you'll even improve the performance for them. You'll find you're lifting all those around you. You may never have direct, tangible evidence of it, but in some way you'll know something different is happening in your life. And so that's a very important exercise. I was going to ask you to do it for a day. But I know how difficult it is to do for an hour. An hour is at least within reason. Now in that hour, just think, we're going to really be living in heaven. Because you can't have any judgments if you're judging divine. It doesn't matter who gets on that telephone, that's the invisible eye. It doesn't matter who's angry at you, or what you happen to see in the newspapers, or what comes off the TV tube. In that 1 hour, you identify all that is divine. Then what do we do after the hour? Do we go back to, it's not divine now, the hour is up? Do you see what it leads to? It's forming a habit, a way of life. And if you are true to spiritual identity, that's what returns to you. That's exactly what returns to you, because your fidelity is the mirror. And your infidelity is the mirror. When the Master speaks about adultery, he's talking about just this. Are you faithful to the invisible eye or not? If you're not, you're married to mortality, to this world. And this is the spiritual adultery, which is the karma of the world. All right, we'll do it for an hour. Nobody's keeping score on you but yourself. And I would like to suggest that when you fail, that you begin and start the hour at that point of failure until you complete 1 hour of identifying everyone and everything, even a flea, as the invisible divine eye. And if you don't get through 1 hour during the entire week, well, you just are saying to the Father, you said abide, but not this week. Correct yourself. Start again when you fail. If you fail at the 59th minute, begin your hour over again. You must go through an hour. The Bible says, go twain, if someone asks you to go a mile. So some of you who want to can go 2 hours. But that's not the lesson. While we are part of this human race into which we were born, we're sowing to the flesh. We're going to reap corruption
even if we obey the Ten Commandments to the letter. What we accept into our consciousness is going to determine our experience. And so we're learning to accept in our consciousness the invisible divine self everywhere. When we accept that into our consciousness, our righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees. We're not judging after the appearances, we're not judging after the flesh, but we're judging righteous judgment, that only the divine self is here. God is one, God is all. That is the nature of being that is present wherever I am. And in this, you'll find you have turned off the world. You have turned on the kingdom. Your key is fitting the lock, opening the door. I think we'll stay with lifting up the eye, because if we can come to a place where we are properly aware that I is not only in this room, but in every other room, in every office, in every city, on every street. The miracle of I will yield fruit beyond imagination. So that will be today's lesson. We have five more until our recess. And remember, the last, we're going to go right through New Year's and Christmas every Sunday. So we'll be here even the day before Christmas and the day before New Year, the 7th and the 14th of January. And the 14th of January will be the last of this series. And by then, we're going to finish this book, Realization of Oneness and the Gospel of John. They'll all be finished. And that last lesson is when we'll finish both the gospel and the book. Thanks very much.